so great tonight. What a group. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we've gathered tonight as individuals. We've gathered tonight as families. We've gathered tonight as one church family. And it's all about celebrating you. Father, I pray that as we just take a few moments to consider the importance and the beauty of this night, that you would speak to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christmas carols that we sing at this time of year are pretty powerful, aren't they? Hark, the herald angel sings, joy to the world, O come all ye faithful. Those are deep theological songs, lyrically. And it's kind of a shame that we're so familiar with them, because sometimes they just sort of roll off our tongues and we don't really think about it. But there's a line in a Christmas carol that really captured my thoughts this year. I was actually working out in the gym listening to Christmas carols. You know, when you get my age, you rock out the Christmas carols while you're pumping iron. And I heard this line, I've heard it 1,000 times, but it just really struck me. It comes from the first stanza of the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, a hymn that was written by Philip Brooks in 1868. The first stanza goes, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. There it is. That's that line. Just grab me. Isn't that deep? Such a profound statement. Makes jingle bells look so silly, doesn't it? And that's what I want you to just focus on here tonight, just a few moments with me. The hopes and fears of all the years met in thee tonight. Now, that's not scripture, but it's certainly something that is true from the biblical record. What does it mean? Well, first it speaks about hopes. I believe it's saying that the hopes of all the years in all of human history, past, present, future, are met in baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem. The hopes of generations, all generations, past, present, future, met in a little baby. Or I could think of it as this way. The universal hopes of mankind in all ages, from all cultures, everywhere, are fulfilled in that one single baby named Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Some of the universal hopes of mankind, one would certainly be peace, don't you think? We want peace. We haven't been very good as a human race at keeping the peace. History's mostly all about war, isn't it? But we want peace. We hope for peace. We hope for peace in our world, our country, our relationships, our marriages, our families, our friendships. We hope for a peace inside that keeps us steady when things are difficult. Well, that hope of true peace is fulfilled in baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Mankind wants love. We all hope for love. We want to be loved. We want to taste it. We want to know it. We want to experience it. We long for parents who love us the way we deserve to be loved. We long for spouses that love us the way we deserve to be loved. Perhaps you're single this evening. Maybe you're longing to meet your true love next year. We long for friends who love us the way we deserve to be loved. We hope to experience every possible thing that can be meant by that word, love. To enjoy it, to give it, to experience it. The hope for true love is met in a baby named Jesus, born in a Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. I think mankind also hopes for the happy ending. We hope for everything to turn out okay. We want it all to work out. We long for that. Our movies, our books, our plays, our dramas, we want them to have a happy ending. We want lives to have a happy ending. Perhaps a loved one is sick. We want them to come through it okay. We want a happy ending. Maybe a child is struggling. We want that child to come through it okay. We want a happy ending. Maybe a marriage is struggling. We want that marriage to stay together. We want a happy ending. We see all the injustice taking place on this planet, and we want justice. We want vindication. We see all of the hardship and difficulties in this world. We long for relief. We long for resolution. We long for closure. We scream for somebody to come fix it. A happy ending. We all want to live those words. And they all lived happily ever after. Well, let me tell you, the hope of an ultimate happy ending is found in a baby named Jesus, born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And then this carol says, the fears. So I believe it's also saying that the fears of all the years and all of human history, past, present, future, have been met in baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem. The fears of all generations since the beginning, past, present, future, are met in baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Or another way to put it, the universal fears of mankind in all ages, from all cultures, everywhere, have been relieved by a baby that was born 2,000 years ago. See, listen, Jesus meets and destroys the power of fear. Universal fears of mankind, what are some of them? Loneliness, for sure. A lot of people are afraid to be alone. There's a lot of lonely people, and they don't want to be in that place. The little boy says to his mom on the first day of school, Mom, will I make any friends? I don't want to be alone. Will I be alone when I get old? Will I have friends? Listen, the fear of being alone is relieved in a baby born 2,000 years ago. I think many fear rejection. There are lots of people who fear about being rejected. They don't want to be the outcast. They don't want to be the outsiders. There are people that want to be included. They want to be a part of something. And unfortunately, a lot of people, because they have such a strong desire like that, they'll go to the wrong crowd and get included and get involved in all sorts of horrific things. We're afraid to be outcast. Listen, baby Jesus born in Bethlehem meets and destroys that fear. Mankind fears about having enough to meet their needs. That's a very common fear among people. Do I have enough to pay the bills? Do I have enough to make ends meet? Proper food, clothing, shelter for my family. You know, there are a lot of people that live in poverty, living day to day, barely getting by. And a lot of folks are afraid of that. That fear can be relieved by the baby who was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. There are a lot of people who fear a meaningless life, a meaningless existence. There are a lot of people that wonder, what's the purpose in life? You know, most people want their life to count. They want it to matter. They want to make a splash here. And a lot of people fear living a completely inconsequential life, a life without meaning, a life without purpose, a wasted life. Listen, that fear of wasting life is relieved by a baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And then, of course, the most universal fear of mankind is death. We're afraid of death. We're afraid to die. Or worse, we're afraid of a loved one dying. For many, death is this black hole, and you go into it and you never come back. A lot of people live their whole lives paralyzed by fear of death. We have a fire station right down the street from our house. It's within walking distance. And it's good to know it's there if we ever need it. But I'll tell you, we hear sirens every single day. Every day there goes a siren. And a lot of times we hear the sirens at night. Siren after siren after siren. And I got to tell you, there are times where I'm home all by myself and maybe it's late at night. And my kids are out driving around, or my wife's out, and I hear the siren. I'm afraid. We fear death. And yet, the fear of death is totally relieved by baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And then I also believe that many people fear what would happen after death. You know, I believe we all inherently know that there's a God. And I believe that we all know inherently that we're accountable to Him. And I think maybe many people are even a little bit afraid of standing before God on Judgment Day. How will you do? Will you be welcomed? We fear that accountability. Listen, the fear of that can be completely relieved by a baby named Jesus, born 2,000 years ago. You say, how can one single baby born 2,000 years ago in a tiny little town called Bethlehem, how can he fulfill the hopes of all the years? How can one single baby born 2,000 years ago in a tiny little town called Bethlehem relieve the fears of all the years? How is it possible for one single baby to do that? Answer, because of who he is. Jesus is no ordinary baby. Tonight, we celebrate the birth of God's Son. God became man. God the Son left heaven. It really happened. He really was born. He really became a baby. And because of who he is, he can meet all the hopes and fears of the years. And also because of what he did. Jesus is our Savior. He's our rescuer. He's our Redeemer. The Bible says Jesus was sent to save us. And because of what he did, we can be saved. See, the Bible tells the whole story. God created us. He loves us. Mankind fell into sin. We rebelled against God, and because of sin, that's why there is so much destruction in the world. That's why there's so much heartache. That's why there's so much brokenness. And we're all born with sinful natures, and our sin separates us from God, who is holy. We made a mess. You can still see it all around the world today. Sin is the problem. And our sin separates us from God. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death and punishment. God in his holiness should punish all sin. We deserve to be punished. But that's why God sent his son. Because the Bible declares if that there were a perfect one willing to die in place of imperfect ones, willing to take the sins of sinners upon himself and die in the place, he'd take that. And so Jesus left the manger. Don't ever forget that. He grew up. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross, and the scripture says that he gave himself for the sins of the world. All my sins were placed upon him. All your sins were placed upon him. Think of the worst thing you've ever done. The thing that you feel most guilty about. That was put on Jesus. He died in our place. And then on the third day, he rose again. Amen. And he ascended. He is right now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And one day, Jesus is coming again. The Bible says that if you will place your faith in Jesus Christ, if you'll open your heart to him, he'll save you. And the hopes of all the years will be fulfilled in your life. And the fears of all the years relieved. If you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you'll get peace. You'll know peace with God. You'll know supernatural peace in your life. And only then can you begin to live at peace with others. When you give your life to Christ, you know love. Nobody loves you more than God does. Nobody loves you more than Jesus does. Look what he did. And I'll tell you, when you give your life to him, you become born again, and you get to know love, and you experience it, and then you begin to really learn how to show it. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, you get the happy ending. You'll go through some tough times in this life, but heaven's coming, and he walks with you every step of the way here. You don't have to be afraid of being alone. When you invite Jesus into your life, he's with you always. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's your best friend. You don't have to fear rejection. You're accepted. You become a child in the family of God. You become a citizen in the kingdom of God. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God becomes your Father, and he's a good Father, and he cares for his people, and he'll take care of you. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will find purpose and meaning in life. Your life will count. If you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need not fear death. Heaven when you die. And you need not fear judgment either, because your sins were judged at the cross. Jesus paid for them. The hopes and fears of all the years met in baby Jesus born in Bethlehem, and all of that can be fulfilled and relieved in your life tonight. I think one of my favorite definitions of Christmas is by Wallace Hamilton. He defines Christmas as God walking down the stairway of heaven with a baby in his arms. Picture that. God walking down the stairway of heaven with a baby in his arms who would give himself so that you and I could be forgiven and saved. It's a gift. Take it. Receive it. I'd like us to turn the lights down, and I'd like you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Christmas Eve. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you received the gift? Do you have a hunger in your heart, a loneliness in your life? All these questions. Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of judgment? Are you afraid of what the future holds? You don't have to be. Let the Son of God enter your life tonight. Don't let another Christmas go by just as a superficial kind of thing. Let it be real. The greatest gift has been provided for you, and you must receive it. If you've never received Jesus right now, I want you to have an opportunity right now. From the oldest to the youngest, this invitation is extended to you. If that's you, just in the quietness of your heart, cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive, and will hear your prayer. Just pray this: Lord Jesus, tonight I receive you into my heart. I'm opening the gift. I'm taking it. Thank you for the tremendous sacrifice that you made. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I place my faith in you. Wash away all my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. Make me yours. Help me to follow you all my days. Amen. You know, I find it interesting that Christmas comes in December, in the darkest, coldest, shortest days of the year. So dark, so cold. And we put up lights in the midst of this dark season, and I kind of find it as symbolic. I believe we live in a very dark, cold world. There's a lot of heartache. But I believe when Jesus was born that night in Bethlehem, a great light came into the darkness. The light that could show us out of the darkness. And he went and showed us the light and died so that we could have the light. If you have received Christ, if you have the light in you, can I invite you to go ahead and turn your candle on too? Amen. Because the light spreads. And I pray that the light would continue to spread from your life to others. We're going to stand together. We're going to hold our candles high. Why don't you stand? If you didn't get a candle, maybe you got a little candle app on your phone. I don't know. Hold up a light. I think this is my favorite moment of the year. We're going to praise our Lord by candlelight. We're going to do Silent Night first.
Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Shepherds quake.
Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace.
Yes, sing this loud.
Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
O come,
all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in Yea.